on the name of Jesus, something happens. How many people have confirmed that? That when you call upon that name, Jesus, something happens. Hallelujah. Call that name, let's see. Call that name, let's hear it again. If you want something to happen this night in your life, shout that name, let's hear it. Is that all you can call? Keep calling, keep calling. Didn't say call once. Keep calling. Keep calling that name. Keep calling. Keep calling that name.
Jesus.
Keep calling
Jesus.
That name.
Jesus.
Keep calling that name.
Jesus.
Keep calling. Keep calling. Keep calling.
Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's pray this prayer. Let's pray this prayer now. Hear, oh, hear and answer my prayer today.
Consecration that shall make
Our prayers today in the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Is there anybody, maybe you are not able to get us on our Monday Ask the Pastor program, a question, Bible on a Bible at the talk. Please give the microphone quickly from there.
Shalom, sir.
God bless you.
Yes, sir. Sir, I want to ask a question. There is something that somehow it's confusing, which I want to ask. Like, some will say the Bible is not complete. And I make the group of people that said Book of Mormon is the second book, which as the Bible was not complete, that is why they have the Book of Mormon. Sir, please, can you put us through?
Let me put you through. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me sharply. About the book, the Bible, is to make you understand salvation, to get you saved. Is to get you saved. And you are only saved if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this book that I have has led me to Christ. And I have received eternal life. I need no other argument. I am satisfied with Jesus every day. Listen, listen. Whatever else you think you need is left to you. Whether this is not complete, my salvation is complete, is the important thing. My salvation is complete. So, hallelujah. He said, it's enough for me. It's enough for me. The man of Calvary is enough for me. It's enough for me. It's enough for me. The man of Calvary is enough for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. From ages past, book, the Bible, the enemy has tried to discredit it. But it is not the book, but the effect of the book that matters. I read this book and I met with Christ. And what this book spoke has been achieved in my life. Somebody said that there is another book called the Quran that it came after the Bible. So the latest prophet is Prophet Muhammad. Another one came with his own Hindu. Another one came with his own Buddha. Another one came with his own Joseph Smith. He said the angel gave him the book of Mormon. Whatever you have, let it give you eternal life. If you have received eternal life, then the book you are reading has achieved its purpose. But this Bible tells me that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. You don't go to the Father through a book. You go to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it's not a book that was advertised. He said, come to me. Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you a book. He didn't say so. I'll not give you a book. He will give you rest. Eternal life flow through the cross. If I understand the cross and I receive that life, this book has achieved its purpose. God bless you. Any other question?
Shalom, church.
God bless you.
I thank God for Bright Assembly Church and for our pastor. I believe that my pastor here have answer to give to me to what I saw on Facebook. I saw a particular pastor interviewed on Facebook. He asked him a question that people that are praying using the blood of Jesus to pray, is he wrong or right? And he was saying it's wrong, that the blood was needed in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, blood is no longer needed. And I know that such thing will confuse many people and send many people to error. So, Daddy, please, say more on this.
What do you want me to say?
That the blood of Jesus, the blood, is blood needed again in New Testament or not?
When you say the blood, it is the blood of Jesus that gave us the New Testament. If not for the blood of Jesus, there will be no New Testament. Matthew 26 and verse 26, can we read it?
And as they were eating,
yes,
Jesus took bread and blessed it.
Yes.
And broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take.
Go to verse 27. Go to verse 27.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission.
So when was it shed? 2,000 years ago. We cannot shed any other blood. It has already been shed. So if anybody tell you to bring a goat, a cow, a live animal, the live animal that God gave us is, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, what I think, maybe you, I think I've had such argument where they say, stop saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus, plead the blood. Now, the blood of Jesus, anytime you speak about the blood of Jesus, you are going to the covenant. You are calling to remembrance the covenant that God has, and he sealed it with the blood. So when time you say, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ against principalities and powers, you are just like David, who faced Goliath and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He was referring to the seal of the covenant that God had with Abraham that was sealed with circumcision. So anytime he mentions circumcision, he's remembering the covenant that Abraham had with God, which he, David, is a beneficiary of. And so if not for the blood of Jesus, that blood is still speaking now. And that blood will speak for us even today in the name of Jesus. But That blood will speak for you only if you are under the blood. And that is why we have the ordinance of water baptism. God bless you. Yes?
Shalom, church.
God bless you.
Daddy, I would like to... There's something bothering me, so I would like to... I would like you to...
That's why we give you microphone. Talk.
Okay. I would like you to explain it for me. Why is it seeking favor, you find it difficult to...
Which scripture is that?
Like, find difficult by...
Okay, let me answer you. You say, why is it difficult to... You are looking for favor.
Yeah.
And you cannot find it. Eh?
Yes, sir.
How does favor look like?
Like if you seek favor for you to get.
How does favor look like? You say you're looking for something. It look like there's something. Eh? Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen. The Bible says, Jesus himself was the one that said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. What you're actually telling us is that you are a beggar. That's why you are telling the whole world that you are a beggar. Anytime you go to beg for something, they know they give you. Anytime you want to beg for something, they know they give you. That's the question you are asking,
No, Daddy, what I mean, seeking for favor, you find it difficult to get. That's what I meant to
ask. I say that means you know they gave favor. That is, you are a beggar. That means you go to beg. Oh, no. That is it now. Stop begging. Be given. It is what you give that returns to you. If you don't give, nothing will come back to you. That is the law. It is what you sow, you reap. Give. 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 A young man, look at the screen. Luke chapter 6, verse 38.
Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Again.
Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Did he mention what you should give? Eh? Eh? Give, and it shall be given. Go to verse 30 first. Go to verse 30.
Give to every man that asketh of thee.
Are you hearing now? Give to every man that asketh of thee. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him.
And of him that taketh away thy goods. Ask them not again.
If anybody, he said, borrow me something, no return him, no carry and go court. Leave him. Do you understand? Okay, then verse 38.
Verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure.
Anything you give out, it shall be given unto you. Good measure.
Pressed down.
Pressed down.
And shaking together.
Shaking together.
And running over.
Running over.
Shall men give into your bosom.
Shall men, not God, men, because you give to men. Men, we give unto your bosom.
For with the same measure that ye meet with
us, as you give,
it shall be measured to you.
And so they go give you too. And it is every aspect of life. If you are good at making people cry, they will come to you also. It will return to you. People will also make you cry. If you live a life of collecting people's husband, wait till you marry. Now, so another girl will collect your husband. If you are used to gossiping, now so then go package gossip, good measure, throw away for you. But when people come to you, you smile, you give them peace, you give them joy, you give them what they are looking for. When you too, you are in need, people will be giving you too. It is a law of life. God bless you. Next person.
Shalom, church. Please, my questions from the book of Genesis, chapter number 1 and 2.
Listening.
God said, let us make man in our own image.
So, hold on. Chapter 1 and chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
The two chapters.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
God said, let us make man in our own image. Then chapter 2, he said, God formed man. I want to ask, are they the same person or different people that God was talking about?
Now, this is how you read the Bible. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 1. Listen to that statement in verse 1.
Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts.
When was it finished in chapter 1? All creation was done in chapter 1. But chapter 2 is telling you how that creation was done. Read on.
And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from his work which he had made.
He has already, is now rested. And God blessed the seventh day. Go to verse 4.
These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth.
Now from verse 4, he's now telling you how chapter 1 came about. He's now explaining it. What did he say?
These were the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens.
Now in verse 18.
And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone.
He formed man. Maybe verse 16.
Verse 7.
Okay, let's read it. Let's read them. Go on.
And the Lord God formed man.
Okay, that is the verse I'm looking for. Now, but in verse 26, what does it say?
And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the
and
sea.
And verse 27?
So God created man in his own
so
image.
So God created man in his own image.
In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Now in chapter 2 verse 7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground.
Now this is in chapter 1. Did he tell you how he created the man? He only said, let us make man, and he created man. Chapter 2 is telling you how that man was created. Verse 7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground.
You see?
And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
Now, so chapter 2 gives you the details of what happened, what was summarized in chapter 1.
Is sorry, sir. Another question is, where did Cain get his wife?
Now, you have to believe that God created only two human beings. If you believe that, the answer is simple. If you read on, the Bible says, and Adam had sons and daughters. Seth himself had sons and daughters. And as at that time, for God to fulfill the promise of repopulating the earth, there was nothing wrong about you marrying your brother, marrying your sister. So certainly, Cain married his other sisters. And of course, by the time you come to, is it chapter 4 or so, you notice how they all mixed is there. So he married one of the daughters of Adam.
Shalom, sir.
Okay, let's take one call. Yes, please.
I'm Brother John Kayode from Ogbomosho.
You are welcome.
God bless you, sir. There was a time during a message in the church, one Sunday program like this, you briefly mentioned that certain pastors said some of the word of God, in the Bible, is not the word spoken by God, which I also partially believe that not all those things that were written in the Bible are from the mouth of the Lord. I want you to explain, sir, is all that are written in that Bible the word of, the word speaking or spoken by God, sir?
Listen very well. I think it's Paul that made that statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He was speaking about what happened in the wilderness journey. And this was his admonishment in verse 10.
Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition.
They are written for our admonishment.
Upon whom the ends of the world are come.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, Verse 16.
16.
All scripture.
Now listen. Listen. All scripture is given by what?
The inspiration, of God.
Now, it didn't say all scripture is the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is what?
Profitable for doctrine.
You are to use it for doctrine now. Listen, the story of Samson is the story of Samson. It's not the story of God. But God inspired that story to be put in this book so that we can learn something from it. Is somebody understanding now? That is what he said. All scripture is given. Let's read it again.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
For what?
And it's profitable for doctrine.
It is profitable. It is useful. It is useful for
doctrine. For reproof.
Reproof.
For correction.
Correction.
For instruction in righteousness.
So that what will happen?
That the man of God may be thoroughly perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Now, because whatever is written in this Bible is by the inspiration of God, we call it the word of God. Now, so the people that want to downgrade the importance of this word, they go into semantics and tell you the grammar you are speaking is wrong. Every word here is not the word of God. They are trying to downgrade it. Every word there is not the word of God, but every word written there was inspired by God. And we are to learn something from it. That is why he put it there. Everything written there will help you concerning doctrine, concerning whatever, anything at all about righteousness. They are there. And God is the one that inspired the people to put it there. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Shalom, church.
God bless you.
Please, sir, I heard you say that once the name of somebody is written in the book of life, no matter what, the name can never be blotted out. Please, I want you to throw a light in Psalm 69, verse 28. Each time I come across that verse, I become confused. Please, can you throw a light on that verse, sir?
Psalm what?
Psalm 69, verse 28. Thank you, sir.
Let them be blotted out of the book of the living.
Read it again.
Let them be blotted out of the book of the living.
Who is writing this? You see the reason why that man says not every word that is the word of God. Who is writing that?
David.
Not God. Will their name be blotted out of the book of life because David said it?
But the Bible says every word of God is from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
So he inspired it for what purpose? So David killed a man and collected his wife. Did you read it in the Bible?
Of course, sir. Yes,
so,
sir.
So we can go and kill. Was David right for doing it?
No, sir.
So there are some statements that David will say that will not be right. And that's why God will not answer it.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Who again?
Shalom, church.
God bless you.
There is this question that I want to ask. Because these people that have made our God three in one kept arguing from this very verse. First book of John 5, chapter 5 from verses 6 and 7.
Go ahead.
That says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And this is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
Not three. These three are three. These three are one. Therefore, God is three. Don't know. If something is witnessing something, what is he witnessing? You should find out first, what is it witnessing? What is he witnessing? What is the water, the blood, the spirit? What are they witnessing? Answer me now.
So it's not from me, sir. Actually, I want you to help me here.
Because you will ask them now, what are they witnessing? It is whatever it is about our salvation. It is about our salvation. It is not a description of the Godhead. It's not a description of a Godhead. Witnessing. God came to earth here as a human being. Correct?
Yes.
And we know him as Emmanuel.
Yes, sir.
But he came like all human beings are given birth to. When a woman gives birth, what is the first thing that comes out? Eh?
Water.
Are you not married?
I'm not a doctor, sir.
But you are married?
Yes, sir.
Known as your wife, take born. Water will first come out. Then blood will come out. Then the life will come out. Correct?
Yes, sir.
The spirit of life will enter that child and he begin to scream. He has received life. That is the evidence. That is the witness of a life that has been given birth to. And Jesus Christ is described as the last Adam, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, Adam was given a wife. When how was he given his wife? He was put to sleep.
Yes, sir.
And the surgery was done by his side. And his wife was formed from there. The last Adam, to get his bride, he also died on the cross on Calvary. How were you and I produced? Three things came out in verse 34 of John chapter 19.
But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side.
Yes.
And forthwith came there out blood and water.
Blood and water came out to produce you and I. The blood was the price for redemption and the water for restoration. It produced you and I. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said there are three. In verse 30 of that same John 19, that's the third thing. We have seen blood and water. The third one, the spirit. What did he say?
When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished.
And did what?
And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost.
And that is the Holy Ghost that came on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. Witnessing our salvation, nothing more. God bless you.
Thank
next
you
person.
So much.
Shalom, church.
Please, God bless you.
Sir, I wanted to shed light on Genesis chapter 20, verse 1 to 12. I want you to tell me if Abraham truly deceived King Abimelech or he said the truth. Thank you, sir.
And that is why we say, when you say every word is the word of God, you can understand now. Abraham exhibited fear because the king will kill him and collect his wife. So he exhibited fear as a human being. But what we learn there is the mercy of God. And we learn that God keeps his covenant and nothing, every other thing you do, he deals with us through his covenant. He has a covenant with Abraham, not even his fear will stop it. Yes?
In verse 12, Abraham said truly he said the truth because Sarah was his father's daughter. So I really wanted to shed more light on it.
He said he should tell, after she became his wife, was he relating with her as his sister?
No, no, sir.
Eh?
No, sir.
Do you know the effect of what he was doing? He was saving his life, even at the cost of releasing his wife to go. Because if he says it's his wife, they will have to kill him first before you collect her.
Okay, sir.
So, forget it. He demonstrated weakness. See, he said, every scripture is given for instruction in righteousness, for doctrine. Everything, every story, what do we learn there? Every story you read in the Bible, what do you learn there about God and his people? A man told lie, and instead of the woman to go, God went and stopped Abimelech. You have finished if you don't release the woman. God had mercy because, listen, it is you and I that have the Holy Ghost living in us. Before Christ died and resurrected, every other person, it was just anointing and faith. So God knows our weakness. Thou knowest all my weakness. Thou knowest all my care. Praise the Lord. But now, under grace, amen, he did not give us the spirit of fear. What spirit did he give us? Spirit of boldness. The reason is because when you say it, heaven will back it up. Hallelujah. So don't go and lie. The spirit in us will not allow us lie. It's a spirit of boldness. God bless you. Next person, yes?
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
God bless you, sir. My question is about the call of God. When someone begins to hear people tell him, you have a call, you have a call, you have a call, how can the person be able to know or to differentiate between the call to gather and the call to just go and preach the word of God to people?
There are only two types of a call. And the first call is the one Jesus Christ screamed in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all ye that labor, come for salvation, which everybody that is a Christian today answered. Then when you come, you are coming as a part of that body to supply something. Listen again. The call from God for salvation requires you to come to him to enable you to take a decision. When you come, then he will receive you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then where he places you, there is a gift he will give you. The gift you have determines what you'll be doing in the body of Christ, how you will serve God.
Yes.
So there is nothing like call to evangelize or call to gather.
Sir, let's assume all that has been accomplished in the person's life. But he's still hearing, you have a call, you have a call.
Then you ask the person when they tell you, you have a call, and he'll tell you the rest. I'm teaching you Bible. You see, these bad-mouthed people, he said that is a missed call. He said it's a missed call. There's nothing like that. I'm telling you now, some of these people create confusion in Christendom. You know, there is only one call we have. There is only one call we have. The call is to come to Jesus. When you come, he gives you the Holy Ghost and gives you a gift. And that is why I have taught here that no member of the body of Christ is redundant. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7.
For the manifestation of the Spirit.
When you have received the Holy Ghost, he will manifest.
Is given to every man to profit. With
to profit. Why did he say profit? Because in Luke chapter 19, you see the parable of the talent. The talent he gave you there, he said, occupy till he come. He gave some 5, some 10, some different. And then when he comes back, and he will come back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, where he said, for every one of us shall face the judgment we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done. Not the things done in your physical body, like fornication, drinking, alcohol. That's not what you did in the body of Christ. What you did in the body of Christ, according to that, he has done. Whether it be good or bad. What did you do with the gift he gave you? It was to supply something to the body of Christ. And that is what, when we go up after the rapture, that is where we shall receive our reward. And what are these talents? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 8.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom.
Word of wisdom.
To another, the word of
knowledge. Word of knowledge.
To another, faith.
Faith.
To another, the gift of healing.
Gift of healing.
To another, the working of miracles.
Working of miracles.
To another, prophecy.
Prophecy.
To another, discerning,
discerning
of
spirits.
To another, diverse kinds
diverse
of
kind
tongues.
Of tongues.
To another, the interpretation of tongues.
So these are the talents. However, in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 9, 10, and 11.
Now that he ascended,
yes.
What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?
Uh-huh.
He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens,
uh-huh.
that he might fill all things.
Yes.
And he gave some apostles.
He gave some apostles.
And some prophets.
Some prophets.
And some evangelists.
Some evangelists.
And some pastors.
Pastors.
And teachers.
And teachers. For what?
For the perfecting of the saints.
Uh-huh.
For the work of the ministry.
Uh-huh.
For the defining of the body of Christ.
Uh-huh.
To welcome in the unity of the faith.
Yes.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the statue of the fullness
now,
of Christ.
Now, and on and on. You can read it on and on. So, Ephesians 4:11 is leadership. And he's the one that gives it. While 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the body gifts that the members that gather use it to edify also the body. God bless you. And it is a manifestation of the Spirit. So, all this, they call me. I don't know how to start. Start what? A business, they go start. They say, I'm a prophet. I don't know how to start. Abi, they say, I'm a prophet. Then say, that's evidence you are not. Then say, amen. A call?
Shalom. Shalom, church.
Shalom.
That is good evening, sir. Uh-huh. But yesterday, I was studying, listening to a message from my tablet, titled The Serpent Seed. So the prophet William Branham made a statement that I wanted to throw some light. In that message, in paragraph 328 of that tablet, he said there's no eternal punishment, that the hellfire is not going to burn forever. But what we do here before is that hellfire, the fire will never quench. And people will look for death and will not die. So when I now hear this message yesterday, I was so confused that the fire will not burn forever. That because there's no internal punishment. That please, I want to make some light,
Brother
Innocent, some life, sir.
Brother Innocent,
yes,
are you referring to a message?
Yes, sir.
I preached the message?
No, sir.
Am I the one that preached the message?
No, sir.
You want me to defend what another person preached? So what is your question? Is the lake of fire eternal? Is that what you mean?
Yes, sir.
Eternal, there is only one thing that is eternal, and that is God himself. And the only reason you will be eternal also is because you have eternal life. Any other thing expires. Listen, the purpose of fire, you use fire when you want to permanently annihilate something. If you don't want to permanently destroy the existence of anything, you don't use fire. But when you want to permanently cleanse and permanently wipe it away from existence, then you apply fire.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, lake of fire cannot be eternal.
Okay, sir.
when it has finished its purpose of totally cleansing, destroying, removing from existence all the nyama nyama that we see in the book of Revelation chapter 20, all of them, no matter how long it will take, it may take long, it may take, look, does Sodom and Gomorrah still exist?
No, sir.
It was destroyed by fire. And everything that will be destroyed by fire cannot have eternal life. So the idea that people describe, then you'll be on fire, then they'll be tormenting you, you'll be on fire, permanently, fire, eternally. Hey, if he wants to do that, he will not use fire.
Okay, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir. I'm grateful, sir. More grace, sir.
Thank you. Any other person? No, sir, more question?
Oh. Sir, God bless you, sir. Please, concerning water baptism, because a lot of people say that yes, like now, Bride Assembly did water baptism through two pool. So some pastors say that doing water baptism through pool is wrong. That's my question, sir.
What scripture do they use to support that?
When they not, that is, you only don't talk about when Jesus Christ do his water baptism. Jesus Christ enter a mansion baptism.
Eh?
Jesus Christ enter mansion baptism. Now they say you use, for you to use a pool to baptism is wrong.
What is immersion baptism? What is immersion?
To be, that is to baptize through river.
That's the meaning of immersion.
No, that is what many pastors talk about.
That's why I say, which scripture supports it?
No scripture.
Therefore, they are false teachers. Don't use your idea to teach doctrine. All baptism was done. Baptism was done in River Jordan. So we should all go to Israel and baptize there. River Jordan. John the Baptist, River Jordan. Jesus himself, River Jordan. All of us, go there. Okay, if not, use your idea now. It must be a river. If it must be a river, then tell us why it must be a river. The word is baptized. Baptized means immersed. The important thing is that the water covers you. It is burial. And there are designated cemeteries for burial. But some also bury in their home. Some bury in their bedroom. The important thing is that you are buried. And not just buried, you must die. If you don't die and they bury you, that is wickedness. Can you take somebody who is alive and cover him on the grave? It will work. He will struggle and come out again and continue his life. So don't make sure the person die first. Be sure he die, or some pastors don't know that they faint, then faint. The trouble where they worry, then they say, if you go for water baptism, I beg, where? If the problem will go. Now faint, he faint too. Some, the salmon hit them. Then they saw people coming for altar call, himself will come. He never die, yo. He never die because the paint, where they paint for leg, is it there for wardrobe? The wig, where he come out before he come church, is still there for house. The trouser, where she they wear, is still there. The kind where the man they drink, the remaining bottle is still there for house. So we'll know whether he die after a few days. Make sure he die first before you bury them. God bless you.
From Yola.
Go on.
Peter. I have a question, sir. Based on John chapter 19, that says the tree bear witness. Yes, sir. Can one use the water and then deliver somebody? Like I use, like we number use I cover you with the blood of Jesus. Can I say I cover you with the water of Jesus?
Can you say I cover you with the blood of Jesus?
And can I use water? I cover you with the water of Jesus. The water that spray out of his ribs.
You carry water and do what? To achieve what?
As in to deliver somebody or to cover him like we normally use the blood of Jesus.
To say the water from the side of Jesus, I cover you with the water. From the side of Jesus, I cover you with the water.
Yes, sir.
It is not the water that purchases our salvation. It is the blood.
Okay.
It says, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood.
But they say the tree bear witness.
Witness of what? Witness of salvation and witness of the new birth. That's all.
Okay.
God bless you. Yes, sister.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29.
What does it say?
It says, else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And I ask a question. Was Apostle Paul trying to tell us that some people stand in baptism for the dead?
Ah, are you from Catholic?
No, but that's what.
What he's saying there is, now read it again.
It says, else what shall they do?
No, go to verse 28.
And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
Now continue reading. Verse 29.
Else.
Now, let me read it for emphasis. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? The next verse. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Which jeopardy? Jeopardy. He's talking about resurrection. If we baptize, we put you that you are dead in Christ, which, that is the meaning. Then we bring you out from the dead. That is the hope we have. Now, if there is no resurrection, then why are we risking our lives for? If we will die, we will not resurrect. That's all Apostle Paul is trying to teach there. Do you know the reason? It's because some people went and they were preaching against resurrection. And one of them is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 17 and verse 18.
And their word we eat as not a canker, of whom is Emmanuel and Philetus.
Verse 18.
Who concerning the truth have erred.
Who concerning the truth have erred. What were they saying?
Saying that the resurrection passed already.
The resurrection is passed already and do what?
And overthrow the faith.
So if there is no resurrection, then why are we risking our lives for? Because somebody is teaching that resurrection is passed already. And he said he has erred in that teaching. If there is no resurrection, Apostle Paul spoke in another scripture, said we are among all men most miserable. That's the meaning of that scripture, baptizing for the dead. That is having hope from the dead. God bless you.
Sir, please, I have another question.
Yes.
That is comparing James chapter 4, verse 4, and the book of Luke chapter 16, verse 9.
Read them.
That Luke 16, 9 says, and I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations.
And
why James chapter 4 verse 4 was talking about. James chapter 4 verse 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Now, Jesus Christ was given a counsel. He was using that to preach a gospel, to tell you how foolish we are. And I think I've spoken along such line before. That, see, here, you know they. There, you know they. In the kingdom of Christ, you are not there. Here again, among the world, you are not there. Because here, you are acting like a Christian. And when the rapture will take place, you have nowhere to go. Because you were abusing them, you are saying you are righteous, you are this, and you don't make it. He says, so, since you are not ready to follow here, let me give you wise advice. Make friends with them. So that when the rapture takes place, at least you can have where you can stay with them and be with them forever in hell. That's what he was given. Is that not a wise counsel? It's a wise counsel. The most foolish human beings that I believe exist on earth are found in Christianity. They will not go to Babalawo. They will not go to any juju. They don't belong to any cult. They say they are Christians. But to follow the commandments that Christians should follow, they will not follow. So since they will not follow, amen. So which side are you? That is why you will see some kind of funny thing Satan does with Christians. Because they are not following. Imagine that you have a Bible. Give me your Bible. Imagine that you have a Bible. And this is what gives us direction to heaven. And this Bible tells you, and you are reading it, oh, you are reading it, oh, can you help me read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not
inherit? It's written in this Bible. It's written, read it again.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom
of God? The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See people who will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters.
You see, oh, fornicators.
Idolaters.
Adulterers.
Effeminate. Abusers of the mankind. Covetous. Drunkards. Revilers. Extortioners. Shall not inherit
the kingdom. It's written in the book with a hollow. And you want to go to heaven. That's why you are holding the book. And you are holding the book and you are fornicating. Are you not foolish? Now deceiving yourself. This same book condemns you. This same book will condemn you. It makes you foolish. Drop the book and go and follow prostitutes. Enjoy yourself. So that when you go to hell, you're not going to cry. You don't say you have been waiting for it. But you hold Bible. This Bible is telling you. You hold Bible because you want to go to heaven. And it says, this, see, amen. Even drug, then they write expiry date. Drug will not expire last year. It's written there. And you still take it. Are you not foolish? And you expect it to heal you? That's what gave rise to that song. When the saints shall march to heaven with Jesus as their leader, marching on war like soldiers. Yes, soldiers. And rejoicing. Oh, hear the sinner shouting. Oh, no.
And I know.
Wait. The sinner referred to here are those who are holding this book and living their life contrary to this book. No prostitute, no armed robber, no occulting people. They are not sinners. They are unbelievers. They are not sinners. We are the ones that are sinners. Listen, without law, hallelujah, there is no crime. Nobody will find you guilty until there is a law you have broken. So those ones, they are condemned already because they are unbelievers. But you are a believer, so you come under a law. If you break this law, you are the sinner. When the saints shall march to heaven with Jesus
as the leader, marching onward like soldiers, yes, able soldiers,
and singing
and rejoicing, or hear the sinner shouting, oh,
say had I known. Will an armed robber say had I known? Nothing like that. Now we, are there sinners here? You better repent. You better repent. There's another one that says, oh, wake up, sinner, wake up.
And prepare for his glory.
Listen to him. Listen to her.
Seeking Jesus the Savior.
Uh-huh.
The captain of the sign before is too late. Oh, join the Lucas cry.
Hey.
Oh, no, and I know. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Don't see us, voice I hear.
God. They have gone. We are gone.
Marching to join.
And that's why I had reason to tell you some time ago. Hey, he was in the church. They were worshiping. Then Boko Haram entered and killed them. He died in the church. Therefore, he will go to heaven. Now lie you. Now lie you. Amen. Where you die doesn't matter. How you died doesn't matter. By the time you died, what was your relationship with God? We determine where you will go after you die. You carry Bible, then you preach. While you are preaching, armed robber shoot you for road. Hey, he died. He's gone straight to heaven. We'll be testifying like that. Me, so I will join them and testify. Amen. Because we don't know the estate that you are in, but we know you were a church member, but only God knows who is who. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Therefore, you judge yourself. And the only way you judge yourself is not from the pulpit. It's what you are reading here. And your conscience. God is not a man. Hallelujah. God is not a man. He has shown you the way, and you are making mockery of him. You are deceiving the world. But there is an all-seeing eye watching you. Watching you. Watching you. Every day. But for the rest of us who are struggling, making all the sacrifices to live a life pleasing God, pleasing before God, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trial will
seem so small.
One glimpse of his face. and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to the blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eyes, and we follow till we die. Hey, we will understand it better. We are destitute. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Once of food and once of shelter, thirsty hills and barren land. But we are trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better. Oh, yeah. Whatever your problem, my heart can sing
when I pause to remember
a heartache here is more than stepping stone
along the train, along the train.
The swine is always up.
Oh,
in this troubled world, it's not my fault.
Will dim and lose their value if we recall they are borrowed for a while.
I think of them that caused the heart to tremble.
Oh, remember them
will only bring a smile of them.
Oh, until then,
my heart will go on see.
Soul of man,
the soul of man is like a
Attended my way
when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my Lord, whatever my Lord, thou hast taught me to know.
For Jesus, love for Jesus. Give Jesus a big hand.